How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm out there patting all kinds of people on the back. Career over! He's fired!
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Remember when Dan O'Dowd came on our show?
Yeah, I think I was here for that one.
And then yesterday Dan O'Dowd went on MLB Network.
I don't remember that one.
He talked about the Giants and Rafi Devers, why they went after him in the first place. Take a listen.
To me, in the Giants case, I think it's a reaction to not signing Stanton, not signing Harper, not signing Correa, not signing Judge.
They wanted a star.
They realized they can't sign one as a free agent, so they went the trade route.
Okay. Probably some validity to that.
Right. And they saw the way it was going in Boston, which was a very public, more than a spat, more than a feud. It was akin to Jimmy Butler in Miami, I think, where the only way that was going to end was with Rafi Devers getting shipped out.
Yeah, but it didn't need to necessarily go the way that it went. The one thing I will say about when Rafi Devers was acquired, I think all of us Giants fans were so thrilled to have an elite hitter, but there were a lot of baseball people who said in the same sentence, yes, great hitter, and I think the Giants clearly got the best player in the deal, but also a little surprised they just took on the whole contract.
Yeah.
I don't think there were any other baseball teams that were going to be willing to do that.
And wasn't some of the money paid already up front by Boston in the form of a signing bonus?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you always talk about the average annual amount on the deal, and it's not what shows on Baseball Reference, which is $33 million a year.
Right, it's actually about $28.5 million a year.
Okay.
Every year.
Right, but they still took on the whole kit and caboodle.
They took on the rest of what was on it. Yeah,
Boston didn't chip in $100 million. Nope. Or you just took the player and you took the contract.
They didn't chip in $100 million.
Right.
Let alone $100 million.
There was no chip.
There was no chip.
Nothing was chipped in.
And I like chips.
Yeah. And
a little too much, actually.
I think at the time, yeah, you looked at the trade and thought they finally got a hitter like Dan O'Dowd just said. But at the time, you weren't thinking that Bryce was going to be just a year away and that he was going to come up and make this big of a splash this soon. And so I think Buster looked at it and he pounced. There's a really good player available, a player that had to be dealt because the situation was broken.
Look, I was in favor of it then, so I'm not going to allow myself to not be in favor of it now. But to the point he's making, does this mean that the Giants acted out of some other emotion rather than what you want to act out of, which is, we like this player and we think this is the perfect deal for us right now? In other words, were they letting history into, you know, the analogy I love to use. It's kind of like if you're dating or married to somebody who loves to go out 5 nights a week and stay out late, and that relationship sours, you're going to immediately look for like a homebody. But you may not be a homebody. That's just what you want now. It's not what you want all the time. And now you've signed up for homebody. And that's going to wear out too, because at a certain point, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, or who knows, maybe in 12 months, you'll be like, I'm bored. And so did the Giants act out of, instead of, we think this is a good deal and a great player who fits perfectly, did they basically act out of their own wounding?
Perhaps.
That's what concerns me here.
A certain amount of, not desperation, but yeah, some desperation, because you have been trying and trying and trying to get these really big-time hitters to come here, and you finish in second, hee-hee-haw, time and time again, and Farhan's out, and so Buster takes the reins and sees this as the best opportunity. And so, yeah, you go out there and you just fire away and you trade your prospects and Jordan Hicks and you just take on the whole deal because you got yourself a real bona fide 850 OPS superstar hitter.
What you got, Grandy?
What do you think is the, because the Devers deal, you're getting beat on all fronts. What do you think is the worst part of it? Is it Devers' performance specifically? Is it the fact that Harrison is looking like an all-star in Milwaukee? Or is it that he's essentially blocking Bryce Eldridge? Like, what is the worst part? Because all three of those are not good.
I picked the first one for
just
me.
Just Devers not playing
as
well?
Yeah, just like his performance is not, and it's not an offensive performance. It's just not Rafi Devers. That's what bothers me the most. I think at least in the near term, you can deal with Eldridge and Devers swapping back and forth between that and the DH. And Kyle Harrison showing out, to me, that's part of that's the cost of doing business sometimes. If you get a great player in return, then it's okay if you gave up somebody else who's performing also.
And Boston actually gave him up too.
They
and
did.
It wasn't until he got to Milwaukee that he got healthy and learned how to pitch, apparently.
I don't know if this helps Giants fans or not. Boston's dealings in all of this were way worse. Way worse. But I don't care about that. I'm a Giants fan. I'm not comforted by, hey, the Giants are in fourth place. But, hey, so are the Sox. Like, so what? I don't care about that. They messed up bigger, but the Giants still messed up.
Tibbs, by the way, is at 1,036 in the Dodgers organization.
He has been the whole time.
But even when he cooled off, he's still above 1,000.
Somebody asked the Dodgers, why aren't they calling him up? Like,
I mean, do they have a spot for him?
I mean, they have to. They're not hitting 350 at every position, are they?
I doubt it. He's got 19 home runs and 59 driven in AAA.
He's an outfielder, right?
Yeah. You know who one of the best outfielders in the National League is?
Yes, Andy Pajas is what you're going to say.
This year.
Andy Pajas. He's probably been the Dodgers. You could make a case he's been their best player.
Well, I don't know.
Tibbs has also played a bunch of first this year. An even split of first, right field, and DH.
Right, right. And obviously the Dodgers have a DH. It goes by the name of Shohei Ohtani.
Yep.
So Pajas has been great. You know, you've got Teoscar Hernandez in left. You spent a truckload of money on Kyle Tucker and put him in right. So that's why Tibbs is not up. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's probably similar to what we were screaming about with Bryce Eldridge. Like, don't call the guy up unless you got a spot to play him.
Right. And I would answer your question the same way as Mark Grandy. The first part of it, the lack of performance from Rafi Devers is the one that is the worst part of the trade for me. Because you can't control what they do with Kyle Harrison, and they gave up on him sooner than the Giants did.
Do you guys both think the Giants should trade Rafi Devers?
I don't know if I'm at the word should, but like from an opportunistic standpoint, if there's a deal that makes sense, I think they absolutely need to be open to it.
But if he was hitting the way he has throughout his career, you wouldn't want to do it, even if the team wasn't still very good?
Not right now.
I think the biggest reason for me to trade him is because of he's blocking Eldridge.
But is he? Like, I guess maybe he is long term. I think what they're doing right now is okay for now. So the reason I would look to trade Rafi Devers is I would have questions if this could last much more than a year. But I'd be willing to do this for a year. You could trade Rafi at the next deadline. If there's no good deal right now, you can do this next July.
Yeah, and I think...
So what the hell's on the line? It's not like, oh no, we're going to ruin the rest of this year. They took care of that already.
Pretty much. And I think the further down the line with his contract you go, the more tradable it becomes.
Right.
Because
agreed.
You don't have to eat as much, and neither does the other team.
And the older he gets, though, and theoretically the worse as a player he becomes, though.
Fair, but he also... Like, I don't think he's going to hit any worse than this. I mean, he could start to rake. Maybe he puts up another 850 OPS and then he becomes more tradable. I agree with everything that you guys are saying. This is all, it's all a cost-benefit analysis. It's all a risk-reward play. I don't think you have to trade Rafi Devers this season. I don't even know if they can. It's hard for me to wrap my head around right now the idea, though, that they keep him for more than another year or two if Bryce is going to be anything like this at all.
I think there's a sweet spot of the contract gets smaller and he still is at an age where he can be productive. That, I think, is maybe it's a year or two or three, but he's never had a year this bad. His second year, his OPS was 731.
Right.
And, he had 21 homers that year, but other than that, he's been high eights and dominant.
We're not even at the halfway point, too. So, like, I don't know where his OPS is going to end up. He might end up with an OPS over 800 again.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Chapman's done to his OPS in 3 weeks.
Seriously.
So Devers can do that, too. When you say the word 3 years, even 2 years, though, right now, that feels like a long time to keep Bryce Eldridge shelved defensively,
right,
blocked a little bit, because even if you just say, hey, Eldridge, you're going to be our DH, that creates flexibility problems elsewhere around the diamond. Like, don't forget, Elliot Ramos is coming back. And, okay, so now what? Where's Casey Schmitt go? And does he go to right? And does Jung Hoo go to center? Right. And if that's your outfield, guess what? You have an awful defensive outfield.
Yeah, not a lot of. Well, Jung Hoo Lee's not awful, but.
No, but he's not good in center.
Right.
No, he's a good outfielder. But they decided after two seasons or a season and a half of watching him in center that he was below average out there. Ramos, below average. And Casey Schmitt is brand new. And now you'd be asking him to learn a new outfield position again.
Right.
And a quirky one at that. That's not a good outfield.
It's not.
And I don't want to go out into Oracle Park with a bad outfield. That's not a good idea. That's
especially with that triple Zally, yeah. Man. That thing's huge out there.
Better move the fence way in.
Seriously. And let us play with four outfielders like it's a slow pitch team.
Change the name to Singles Alley.
Pretty much.
Bring that thing into about 320 feet.
So when do you think Ramos is going to be ready?
It's getting there.
Another week or two? Or
month of June.
Okay. Rehab assignment upcoming, yeah, and then
month of June, I think.
So there might be a way to have him come back, and at the same time you trade Luis Arraez, who is one of the most attractive pieces that's out there.
All right, we're not done with this conversation at all. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Serramonte Ford. Ford's American Value for American Values employee pricing event is happening now at Serramonte Ford. Get employee pricing for all on most new 2025 and 2026 Fords in stock. Right off 280 in Colma Daly City, 24/7 at SerramonteFord.com. Serramonte Ford, your Bay Area Ford dealer. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
What is your favorite or the best play on words using your last name that you've heard?
That ball got Schmidt on.
On 95.7 The Game.
Hey, so you, me, and pasta, which is what I'm going to have for dinner, by the way.
Yeah? What are you having? Like, just a basic spaghetti?
Yeah,
or
just a spaghetti. I'll make a little bit of a meat sauce. We'll just make him butter noodles for the little guy.
Okay, still on the butter noodles.
Yeah, he's a picky one.
Yep.
He's going to be a stickler.
My younger son was all about hot dogs and bread when he was a toddler. He had this little song, too.
We'll make some garlic bread now.
Yeah.
And then I'll jam some vegetables in there, too.
Got to.
And we'll get that part done. The protein is the issue.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Okay.
Anyway.
Me, you, and pasta.
Me, you, and pasta, we're sitting here, and we're talking it out. And a question sort of popped into my head because it feels like it keeps coming up. We're talking about athletes who are sort of big time, and therefore, what kind of juice do they have within their organization? Right? There's LeBron, there's Steph, but think about this even in the Rafi Devers story. He's in Boston. He's like, I'm an all-star third baseman. They acquire a new third baseman. He's like, the what you say? and so it caused a big fight, and it led to the Giants acquiring Rafi Devers. And then when there was that whole Bryce Eldridge thing, the Giants are dealing with, hey, we need to get him in the lineup. You know, maybe we have some days off in here for you guys. And all the beat writers are like,
Wasn't well received?
You're not going to be able to go to that card very often because Devers wants to play first. Adames and Chapman don't want days off.
Ever.
Devers will do the DH thing here and there, but it feels like they've kind of been doing the Devers 2 days at first, 1 day at DH thing.
Yep.
For the most part. All right. Bryce Eldridge then hits a walk-off grand slam, and he says directly into a camera, I want to be the face of this franchise. Okay. Let's talk.
Ooh.
How much longer does Bryce Eldridge play like this before he gets a voice? because we're still very much in the space where Bryce will be like, hey, I'm not going to make any waves. You need me to DH? If you need me to HD, like whatever you need me to do.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm going
to
do it, but watch what happens when I go do it. I'm going to hit the ball in the water. I'm going to walk. And that's pretty much it. I'm going to walk and hit the ball in the water.
I'm going to hit the ball the other way. And, yeah, I'm going to absolutely flash.
I'm going to be awesome sauce. And I'm going to force your hand. And he's already done that with regard to getting into the lineup. At what point, and I haven't asked him this question, and he won't answer it, you know, in that sort of a way yet anyway, but how much longer before Bryce goes, I want to play first base?
I think it's probably the balance of the year until he, you know, he's able to put words onto that. He already said he wants to be the face of the franchise.
Right.
That wasn't received great by everyone. I thought it was awesome.
I think it actually was.
The majority of it.
Matt Steinmetz was the only one.
That's fine. And yeah. He doesn't want to be a curmudgeon, yeah. But you know, occasionally he will curmudgeon.
Shoe fits.
Yeah, so I think that it would have to be a full year, and then you get ready to go to camp next year, and it's like, hey, guys, I mean, I only played first 38 times last year. I'm kind of looking for 149 of those.
Can you be, side question, if you may, Your Honor.
Yep, I'll allow it.
Can you be the face of a franchise as a DH?
I think you can. Wasn't Big Poppy a DH?
He was.
David Ortiz.
That's a good example. Yeah,
I'd like to say that he was the face of the franchise.
I think you're right, for the most part, right? When they were going through their run.
Yeah.
Can we think of any others? Is Kyle Schwarber the face of the Phillies? I think it's still Bryce Harper.
Still Bryce Harper, yeah.
Any other DHs that are the face of the franchise?
I mean, he's a very unique DH, but Ohtani.
Sure, but also a pitcher.
Right.
But also a pitcher. But it's a fair answer.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
All right. All right, so now back to the regular line of questioning. I don't know if we know, or if even he knows yet, to what level does being in the field with a glove on a daily basis matter? But maybe we are a little bit in a race against time. You know, Grandy asked the question about, do we think that they, quote, should trade Rafi Devers? I don't even know if they can. And I'm not in a hurry right now because the rest of this year is whatever it is. And they do have the DH, and so if Devers is here for another year or two or like
seven.
Maybe. Like, yep. I feel like they can wrap their head around that, but maybe they can't. Because quite frankly, you are one Bryce Eldridge sentence away from a big ass problem.
That, and I do think you would like to have positional flexibility to where you can have, if somebody's throwing a lefty, you can have a right-handed hitting DH. Because right now, you have to have Devers and you have to have Bryce Eldridge in the lineup. Absolutely. And Devers has played in all 72 games, 54 at first, 18 as a DH. I wonder if he's happy with that split because he's starting to lose games to Bryce over at first because you want to give him some seasoning.
Yeah. And I know this, it's hard for all of us when we're doing the whole, like, I wonder if he's happy. Like, so most people who are listening to us right now are thinking to themselves, you know what, for $30 million, here's a cup of shut up. You be happy, period.
Yeah, period, but at the same time, if he's not happy.
That way. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
He can call the agent, and the agent can you know, call Buster Olney and say, hey, they're open to shopping him because we asked them to shop him.
If Eldridge keeps playing baseball like this, he's not that far off from being able to call his own shots. That's just the reality of sports.
Yeah, it's. I mean, baseball's different because he's pre-arb and he's not even close to an arb.
I'm not saying that he can force a maneuver. I'm saying that he can, even if just behind the scenes, he can cause a huge problem here. What if it's not? I know our mind goes to, ooh, like, all right, there's a standoff. What if Bryce just goes into Tony V's office or Buster's office? Hey, guys, I want to play first. Like, it's really important to me. I want to be in the field. It helps me feel like I'm in the game more. What if that conversation's already happened?
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, what do you do if you're the Giants?
you got to figure it out. You don't trade Bryce Eldridge, that's for sure.
That's the only, I mean, that is quite frankly the number one non-negotiable in the entire organization. That's even less negotiable than Logan Webb.
Agreed. I mean, Logan's got two more years, and then he can be free to go anywhere he wants at that point when he's a free agent. So, yeah, Bryce is your prospect, and looks like you probably hit on one. So that's the non-negotiable. But if it gets to that spot where he feels like he can be better and the numbers prove that he's better when he plays first, I'm just looking here, and he is when he plays first, his OPS is 708, six games, very small sample. When he DHs, his OPS is 1,008. Again, a little bigger.
Bryce?
Yes.
Okay.
26 games at DH, 1,008. Six games at first, tiny sample, 708. So right now, he's hitting better as a DH.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's like, I hate playing the field.
Right.
And so maybe it's okay.
I don't want to get yelled at by Matt Chapman if I don't catch the bleeping ball.
Right. Right. Although I got to think, if I'm Matt Chapman and Willie Adames, I'm like, put the 6'7" dude over
totally.
There.
Totally.
The target is huge, right?
Yeah.
Like throwing a football at Kyle Pitts or something like that. So that's, you know, I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's not tied to this at all. And maybe we're creating a problem that doesn't exist. Maybe he wants to be a DH.
It's possible.
And then Rafi Devers can just play here for 7 years, and hopefully he plays better.
Rafi as a first baseman this year, 54 games, OPS is 662.
Ah.
18 games at DH, OPS is 841. So, and again, a small sample.
Maybe they should take the gloves away from all the Giants.
That's right.
They're not very good at it anyway.
Play Casey at first, and then just put one of those guys in the outfield. Let Rafi run around left field. See how that works out.
Tom Verducci, MLB Central, MLB Network. Take a listen to this.
I think it shows that they made mistakes on players that identified as franchise-type players, signing them or acquiring multi-year deals, like far down the line. In some of these cases, if not all of them, they're going to have to pay some money to move those players. Maybe not Matt Chapman, but certainly with Devers. And
7 years, $200 million that's too much for Devers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a year after the trade, and the contract is underwater. So you're going to have to take on some money to move him. Arise, I think, is a good chance of being traded.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking the last 2 months of the season, only a $3 million commitment for somebody to pick up. And Robbie Ray is an interesting one. $25 million, that's probably a little high for his value. But, you know, when Robbie's right, man, he's a strikeout machine. Mm-hmm. So, in case you know, the Giants are in a position, and they're not in a position to say no on anybody.
Yeah.
They have to do a reset here, and I think you start now, not in the offseason.
It's Tom Verducci joining us live from the Clevelander in Miami. So that was exciting. It was nice that we had a live mic out there on the Friday night bar scene. But Verducci's line there at the end, I'm not sure I agree with that. The Giants are not in a position to say no to trades on anyone. I don't know about that.
I mean, why would they not be in a position to say no? Just because their payroll is so high and their team is so bad?
His point would be, I think, A, they've made mistakes. They need to get out from underneath them. Their record is awful. The only way to do that is to capitulate to others, both financially and in terms of players. Now, there has to be a line somewhere, and I think even Tom Verducci would agree that he does not mean that the Giants would trade Bryce Eldridge.
Right.
I do think that he means that they should listen on Logan Webb. I mean, again, I know the Giants don't want to do this. I don't want them to do this. But this is a scenario I threw out there a couple of weeks ago. What if this happens? What if the Giants are on the phone right now and they're like, we have got to move off of one of these deals. We need to move Rafi Devers. And there's a team out there that either has a DH or a first base slot that they could improve. They still very much believe in Rafi Devers' bat. They have a hitter's ballpark or something like that. And they're like, we'll talk to you on that. Yeah, we're going to need Logan Webb also.
Right. I mean,
what do you do, hotshot?
Well, especially if it's, I'll tell you what, we'll take Rafi and the full freight of the contract, but we get Logan Webb too. Then it becomes a really tough one because we know the Giants like to save their money. They like to break even. So So now you're out from underneath the Rafi Devers deal, like crisp and clean. But Logan Webb is now a Mariner, which is the team of the day, I guess. That makes it a little bit harder to say no, certainly.
Ugh.
I don't know. You have two more years of Logan after this one, right?
Yeah.
And then he can essentially walk for nothing in free agency and go wherever he wants.
He also said something recently that stuck with me, and I can't get it out of my head. Can't get it out of my head.
He likes the Giants?
I think it was an article by John Shea. He's talking about Logan Webb's future, and I know the Giants have clearly put it out to the public that they have no plans at all to move on from Logan Webb, and Logan is too much of a pro to say anything otherwise. He's not going to say that I want out, but in the process of talking about all of this, he was quoted as saying, I'm a Giant until I'm not a Giant.
Profound.
Right. I don't think he meant anything by that, but I also think that sentence doesn't come out of your mouth if you're super digging being a Giant. I'm a Giant until I'm not a Giant is very much opposed to I always want to be a Giant.
Yes, exactly.
It's very flippant and dismissive sounding. And I wasn't in the room, so I don't know the tone of it, but the conversation was about his future. And he sort of ended one of his sentences with that. I'm a Giant until I'm not a Giant.
Right.
Which sort of felt as if he would kind of be all right with not being a Giant.
I mean, now I think is an interesting time to think about something like that because he's put in the work. He's been great. He's been an all-star. He's always up there in the Cy Young voting, and you have a new skipper and a new coaching staff, and you as a team patently stink. You've got no help in the pen. You get taken out of a game early, not early, 99 pitches, and the bullpen blows it up, and you're frustrated. So, I get the frustration, so you're a Giant until you're no longer a Giant.
He's getting further away from competing, not closer. I mean,
you mean with the Giants?
Yes. Yes, we keep talking about Logan Webb only through the eyes of the Giants. And yes, they have him under contract. So they're the ones who are in charge. But we do this with all of the other great athletes. I mean, how many conversations have we had over the last 3 years about what Steph wants?
Yep.
And Logan is not Steph. I'm not saying that. But he is the best. He kind of is. I mean, he's certainly their best pitcher, and you could make the case he is their best player. He's definitely their most accomplished player. He started the year off by saying, I am sick and tired of finishing 500. I don't think he meant it this way.
Right.
How about 400, Logan?
Exactly.
Does that fix it? So, I don't know. I don't know if Logan really is all that invested in remaining a Giant over the last 2 years of his contract.
And again, I would not blame him if he felt that way, because the way this year has gone has been kind of a disaster.
Totally.
You know, you brought in the new skipper from college and you thought, oh, you know, chestnut checkers, watch this work. And that hasn't worked. And the bullpen, you didn't give any help. And your back end of the rotation guys get lit up constantly. And I think it's frustrating,
sure.
You know?
Okay. So, exercise. You're Logan Webb. All we can do is a little bit of guesswork here, but how would all of these scenarios make you feel, okay? You've been to the playoffs once in your whole life. You pitched your you-know-what's off. You pitched just, chef's kiss against your rivals. But the Giants lose 3-2 in a 5-game series. In the last inning by one run. All right.
He gave up one run in 14 2/3.
There you go. Dude, he was incredible in that series. By the way, that series for me, it bothers the living bleep out of me when people are like, Logan's not an ace. Just because he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour. Tell me you don't know baseball without telling me you don't know baseball. Tell me that Logan Webb's not an ace. He's just in the top five in Cy Young
right.
every freaking year. That's all he is. Who? How many pitchers in the National League over the last 5 years have been better? What? Two? Maybe?
Yeah, consistently. Man,
like, Logan's an ace.
Going okay. backward, his Cy Young results, fourth, sixth, second, and 11th.
What are we talking about right. here? Dude's an ace. He's a game one starter, period. And he has started game one, and he mashed, and he won.
Yeah, he only got one win in that series, right. even though he gave up one run.
Okay. So, put yourself in Logan's position. Here you are. You're an ace. You've been to the playoffs one time, and it went really well individually
yep.
in those playoffs. You have not been able to get back since. And since those playoffs, you which were not that long ago, what, 5 years, right? Yep. 5 years ago, you were in the playoffs. You win game one. From that moment forward, you have not been to the playoffs again. You have changed your manager twice. You went from the current manager to an old standby, let's get back to Giants baseball thing, followed by 2 years later, let's do something crazy. And you bring in a totally new regime from top to bottom, and specifically as a number one starter, with two holes in the rotation, you kind of go punt, punt. And as far as the bullpen is concerned, you spend last year's trade deadline selling off your best relievers, and you've replaced them with absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Got a lot of dudes with white Sharpies and not much else. All right. If you're Logan, you got 2 years left on your deal. How we feeling?
We're feeling like it might be time for something else. If you really, really want to compete to win and go to the playoffs, and he absolutely is a very competitive person, I can't imagine he's satisfied at all with how this year has gone. And you look at the rest of your time there. You have 2.5 years left on your contract. Well, this year's over. It's year 8 for Logan, and he's actually pitching phenomenally again. And that means you have 2 years left. How's next year looking? Just, you don't know the moves they're going to make, but Robbie Ray likely gone. And
oh, definitely
you
gone.
Know, your pitching yeah. staff is going to be you again. don't know if you can go out there and bring in a closer. You usually don't do that. Like, those dominant closers usually aren't free agents.
Maybe Randy Rodriguez is back.
Okay.
But I don't know what he looks like. You know what I mean? He's going to have missed a year and a half.
Right. And you look at what's coming up from the farm. You got a couple Carsons, and you've got a Blade, and you've got not much on the hitting front. So, are you going to be good next year to compete for a title?
Well, I don't.
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't think, well, even the title idea, look, you know, with the situation the NL West is in right now, and I don't even know to what level there's going to be a season next
right.
year. So there's that too. But I don't think the Giants are necessarily out of the running for contention sometime soon. Like, their situation is unique and kind of quirky. They're terrible right now, but I don't necessarily see that as this 3 to 4 year process necessarily. Depending on what they go do in an off season with the pitching staff, and we do know that at Oracle Park, you can go get pitchers
right.
to say yes. So if they were to attack that, look, offensively, since April, this has actually been a pretty good baseball team, and it has some pieces, whether you like the big money guys or the small money guys. You've got some pieces that can hit the ball. So could I see the Giants being much better in a year or two? Yeah, I really could. I really could. So I'm not dismissing that. At the same time, like, it's probably going to at least take the majority of the rest of his contract to kind of figure this out. And, dude, he is right in the middle of Primesville.
That's right.
When does he start declining?
I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Hopefully not soon. The way he pitches, too, I think he can have a much longer career because he's not an absolute max-it-out pitcher out there. He's a thinker, and he's able to carve and craft. So I'd like his chances of being able to go into the mid-30s more than other guys.
Yeah. He's turning 30 yep. in November. He's turning 30 this offseason. So anyway, the Giants have, quote, no plans to trade Logan. Well, I had no plans to be at the phone store for 2 hours today.
Yeah, boy.
But I was. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That wasn't a drift. It was awful. It's not a drift at all. 888-957-9570 is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, that's gross. That's going to ruin everybody's dinner.
On 95.7 The Game.
Dude, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. At all times.
Can we circle back to this for a second? I want to understand.
Okay.
Right over my left shoulder during this break that we just had, there's Buster. Not our Buster, the other Buster. Buster Olney on our show last week, ESPN, and he's got his AirPods in. He's calling in a report to ESPN. San Francisco Giants are willing to trade several core players. I mean, this whole thing.
And then they put up pictures of five different people.
Right. Devers,
yep.
Chapman, Adamas, Arise,
yeah.
And Robbie Ray. Well, Arise and Ray is like, duh.
Sure. I mean.
We know.
Right. Unfortunately, Robbie Ray is really struggling to get people out right now, so yeah. The return may not be gangbusters.
Right. And he's a rental.
Right. Arise is too. Sure. And, you know, if you're a really good team, you might fancy him as a, you know, pinch hitter or somebody who could be your DH if you're already taking care of at second base.
Okay. work this out with me.
Okay.
Every big time baseball reporter all reports on the same day the exact same thing. So they must be true. But let's work them all out together. And then also figure out why the hell this all went out on the phones of all the baseball reporters. So, number one, the Giants have not decided if they're sellers yet.
Okay, I think they have.
Next sentence. Giants are willing to trade all their good players.
Right.
Okay, so that already, so there's some propaganda tucked into there. That's number one. But also, the other big selling point that they wanted out there that was tagged in every one of these articles was the Giants have no plans to trade Logan Webb. Now, it does not say that the Giants are unwilling to trade Logan Webb.
Right, no plans.
They have no plans to trade Logan
Webb. Had no plans to spend 2 hours at the phone store today.
Be careful with that. Grandy gets very upset when we talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks you're bragging.
Right, because yeah. I got to spend 2 hours at the phone store. That's a drip.
Yeah. We'll say hello to my guy Marco at the phone store. He was very helpful. His two compadres, not so much. Not everything went exactly the way they all said it was going to go, but that's okay. Technology is fun. So, all right. Why do the Giants send this out? And what does it all mean? And what does it mean behind the scenes with regard to what they've said to Matt Chapman and Willy Adames, who can just say no if they want?
Well,
that's the end of that conversation.
I believe it means that they have had some conversations about the situation and what's going on. And it really has me thinking about the manager. So you get the manager in, brand new, never been in pro ball before, and you've got a kind of a mixed bag of a team. You've got three high-priced veterans. You got Robbie Ray, who's a vet. Robbie Ray's got multiple kids. He's in his 30s. Logan Webb's about to be 30. And then you've got the group of absolute pups. Casey Schmidt is young. Bryce, we know, is 21. Drew Gilbert's running around like he's fresh out of college, which he basically is. And so maybe you're trying to, as an organization, pick a direction. Because right now, this team does not really fit. You've got high-priced vets who, even if they are hitting better individually, you're on a bad team right now. And you want to play as many of these young guys as you can. And you've got a young manager who's probably more geared toward coaching a young team.
I guess what I'm asking, right, is what are the Giants actually saying? What are they saying? Why did this go to all the reporters? Do you know what I mean?
Because they're waving the white flag.
But why? I still will ask, why did everybody need to know? You know I love to ask this question because it's very, very important for listeners and fans to understand the way this stuff works. You do not need to tell Buster Olney. You don't have to tell J.P. Morosi and Tom Verducci. And Ken Rosenthal, you don't
and
have
Matt Finesand.
There's not a rule. You're allowed to just trade people.
Right.
In the middle of the night, Luka Doncic. You don't need...
Jimmy Butler.
Right. You don't need to tell everyone. But if you're telling everyone there's a reason that you want this out there. Three headlines. We are not sellers yet. All of the high-priced guys are available, and we do not plan to trade Logan. Those were your three headlines that the Giants willfully wanted out in the public space today. Why?
I think as far as the they're open to trading core members, I think that is a signal to the fans. Basically, if the Giants put that out to multiple reporters, they're telling fans, we know this is unacceptable, and we're going to try to do something about it.
Okay.
And I don't know how many fans out there would protest if they traded Devers, or if they traded Adames, or if they traded Chapman.
Not many, but I think there are a lot of Giants fans who go absolutely bananas sideways if they trade Logan Webb.
Agreed. So if you're the front office, and I'm not saying that they leaked this information, it seems like it did come from there, but we don't know officially. But this, to me, is a signal to the fans of, yes, we hear you, we hear how frustrated you are, and we're going to do anything we can to fix this. And if that means trading star players for prospects so you can be better down the road, well, then that's what they're going to try to do.
Okay.
That's my read on it.
Hmm.
Because you're right. If you want the other 29 teams to know, like, you call them, hey, Breslow, are you interested in taking Devers back?
In a way, when you signal this publicly to all the other teams, you're potentially lowering their value. Potentially.
Depends.
You're letting everybody know, hey, we don't want these guys.
It also could raise the value when you've got competing teams, you know?
I mean, this isn't Craigslist. You don't need to just put a picture on the internet, like, this is available, make me an offer.
Yep.
It's not like that. Maybe they're trying to placate the people they want to keep. Maybe this news is for Logan Webb. Maybe it's only about Logan Webb. We're not going to trade you, but we're going to try to help you. We're going to try to help you as quickly as we possibly can because we realize we've made some mistakes here.
But by helping him, I think that the majority of the haul in a trade like this would be prospects. I don't think you're going to get too many surefire major leaguers.
True, but I think the Giants need prospects.
Right, but that's not helping Logan if you get a 20-year-old and Logan's gone in 2 years.
No, but I'm talking like prospects that could be ready next year. Hey, we got this starting pitcher who can be right next to you in the rotation, we think, next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Seattle has the best left-handed prospect just ready to roll at AAA. So we've been talking a lot about Seattle, so I don't even know if they would need Rafi Devers, but if you could get a prospect like that, somebody who's ready to come pitch.
I just threw that, whatever. I have no idea what Seattle wants. But maybe it's for Logan. Maybe it's for Bryce. Maybe it's for Bryce Eldridge.
Yep.
Maybe he does want to play first.
I also think that you can put it out. You don't have to make it public, but if you look at the American League this year, you'd be hard-pressed to find more than, I don't know, maybe one or two teams that are just absolutely out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Boston, I was looking at Buster's report just a minute ago. I couldn't hear it, but the graphic below him said Breslow, the GM in Boston, has to decide if they're going to be buyers or sellers. They're 29-40, but they're only 5.5 out in the card.
Yep.
Because the American League is just a mishmash of mediocrity.
The American League right now is threatening to put someone into the playoffs with a losing record.
Right.
NBA style.
And that's crazy.
Crazy. I don't know if we ever seen that before.
I don't think so.
I cannot remember somebody getting a wild card in baseball with a losing record.
Well, now that we have the three wild cards, it is much more of a possibility.
Possibility, but still seemingly unlikely.
Yeah.
You can't find me three teams outside of the division winners with a winning record? I don't think that's ever happened before.
You're probably right. The third card right now is the Athletics. And they have a 500 record.
Are they really sitting in there right now?
Yep.
Good for them.
And then Texas is a game back, and then Baltimore, Minnesota, Houston. Boston's only 5.5 out in the card.
No, they're all in it.
So you can pretend, like, even the Angels, they're only 7.5 out in the wild card. Now, they're terrible, but if you're a lot of these teams, you might be in buy mode as opposed to the Giants and the Rockies and the Mets.
Are they just trying to get a jump on this? Are they trying to do it early? Maybe that's what.
Yeah, I think so.
Try to do it
but
early.
Again, do you have to make it public?
You don't.
I really don't. I don't
it
think so.
It wasn't public last year.
Right.
Like, the Devers thing shocked us when it happened.
Well, the Devers part was very public.
From Boston's side.
Correct, yeah.
The Giants' involvement in it was nowhere near. And even with that, you didn't know that Boston was going to trade him. You knew that they were upset at each other. But he started hitting the ball really well, and Boston was trying to compete. Like, I didn't know they were going to trade Rafi Devers. And then it happened with Kyle Harrison warming up.
Right. Down there at Dodger Stadium, right?
Yep. Yep. I got to say, I don't really understand this. I do not understand why all of the baseball reporters all at once got this information. I'm struggling to see how this helps the San Francisco Giants. Unless there is some sort of goal or motivation that I don't see. I don't know if this is a message within the clubhouse. Maybe that's it.
Like, trying to shake some guys up.
Yeah, but I don't know if that even works, because if I look at this from an individual basis, let's go around to the three, and basically what you're saying is, hey, better start hitting the ball more,
yep,
or else we might deal you. Well, Adames and Chapman can go, no, you don't.
Right.
There, that's the end of that conversation. And I don't know if Devers is all that worried about it. I just don't. I mean, yeah. Like, we've heard that he enjoys being a Giant, but if I were a left-handed power hitter and my numbers went careening down the board the second I left Boston, and your power alley is 421 feet, and you're 15 games below 500, I got to think my answer would be, ooh, you going to trade me? Oh, I double dare you.
Right.
Like,
I'm sure going to miss hitting 422-yard fly balls.
Seriously, what on earth? So I don't think it's a threat. I don't think it's a threat.
I think it might be coming from the clubhouse itself. Like, these guys may be frustrated with the situation, not thrilled with the manager, and, you know, they can, hey, Buster, I will waive my no trade clause if you trade me to one of these, I don't know, 26 teams. I'd be open to it. So I think that there might be some of that going on, because you're right about the no trade part of it. If Chapman and Adames were dead set on staying in San Francisco, like, my no trade clause, you're not trading me. I really want to be here forever. Well, then their names would not be getting thrown out
right in
this report.
408, please explain to me why you wouldn't re-sign Ariza. Well, first of all, because he's a former basketball player.
Yeah, UCLA.
Secondly, I know you mean Arise, so I was just kidding. But Luis Arise has done a wonderful job, but you wouldn't re-sign him because he has earned a multi-year deal, and you very well may have the opinion as a Giants fan that the Giants should be the team to sign him to a multi-year deal, but they are so clunky positionally and have no spot for Casey Schmidt and Bryce Eldridge, who have been their two best hitters this year, that they need to clear space. They also have a lot of prospects who are middle infield prospects coming through the system. So the idea that they would lock up another middle infield spot, I think, just doesn't make sense for them at this time. Now, I will say this, when it comes to Luis Arise, if the Giants are in some way successful at removing some of these big contracts from the roster, that does open the Giants back up to re-signing Luis Arise.
Right.
No question. If you traded Devers and Chapman in the next 6 weeks, sure, Arise is back on the
right.
table.
Now, Casey plays short or third and Bryce plays first.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I think you're kind of doing yourself a disservice when he is the best rental that you have to offer in a year where you're 15 below 500. You probably are better off as an organization trading him for prospects. You just probably are. But I get it. If you're a Giants fan and you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Guy's been awesome. He's probably going to make the All-Star team. Why the hell are we trading him? If you can race and unload some of the big money contracts and create openness on the infield, I mean, I don't I don't hate the idea.
Right.
And I don't hate the idea of re-signing Arise.
You wouldn't have to give him like a six-year, $150 million deal. Probably be a two- or three-year deal at reasonable money. And he's a guy who has proven that he can hit here at Oracle Park. That's for sure.
Yep.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.